This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, how the French national soccer team plays for more than just the game. First, Afghanistan and the biggest military operation since U.S.-led forces defeated the Taliban government 5 years ago in the opening of the war on terrorism. Coalition forces said today that they've killed 40 insurgents in Afghanistan's southern region, where Taliban loyalists have been counterattacking in recent months. Declan Walsh is a correspondent with the U.K.'s Guardian newspaper. He joins us by cell phone from Kandahar in southern Afghanistan. Declan, welcome to the program. And what about this operation? How many coalition forces are involved?
Approximately 11,000 coalition forces are involved, Alex, spread across about four provinces here in the south. And we're expecting most of the conflict is going to take place in a mountainous stretch that goes across three of those provinces, Helmand, Uruzgan, and Zabul. And there are also pockets here in Kandahar province where there's been some very fierce engagements between U.S. and Canadian coalition forces and the Taliban over the last number of months.
When we refer to coalition forces here, these are U.S. soldiers, Canadians, British, and soldiers from Afghanistan, yes?
That's right, yes. We're in a transition period here as far as the coalition command is concerned. Next month, NATO is due to take command of six of the southern provinces from the U.S. This operation is seen as a way of crippling the Taliban in advance of that NATO deployment next month.
Well, is that what the military says? Have they stated a clear goal? We think we might be able to drive the Taliban out of this region. 11,000 soldiers in a unit, that sounds like a lot, but stretched over several provinces in the mountains. I don't know. What can they really accomplish?
Well, that's a good point. Coalition commanders are saying that they're concentrating on the Taliban hideout. There are a number of remote areas in those mountains where the Taliban are able to move freely, where they have some degree of support from the local population. The coalition says that it's focusing very tightly on those areas. It wants to flush them out. And it says that it's going to follow up the military operations with development activities, things like roads and schools, to increase people's confidence in the central government.
Can you tell at all if they have any regard for the Taliban? Are the Taliban coming in and ruling by force there, or is there some residual loyalty to the old Taliban government? Do they like the Taliban?
It's a difficult question to answer. I was in the town of Kalat recently speaking to elders there. A lot of them say that they are not supporters of the Taliban, that they feel that the central government has failed them in many ways. Often this problem is further complicated by issues of tribal rivalries and ethnic problems between various areas. This is the sort of complex web of problems that the coalition faces. You remember that when the Taliban came to power in 1996, it was at the end of a period of civil war when factions from the Mujahideen groups had been battling with each other for years and had effectively ground the country down. People supported the Taliban because they brought stability. Now they say they will support the coalition if it can prove that it will provide stability and some degree of development as well.
Here's another complicating factor that you write about in The Guardian and The Boston Globe, a report from the UN Commissioner for Human Rights that's been withheld for more than a year. It talks about atrocities conducted over decades, really, by several people who are now holding positions of authority within the current Afghan government. This report has still not been made public. Why is that?
This report is what's known as a mapping report. It effectively looks at the 23 years of conflict, or of serious conflict, between 1978 and 1991 through the prism of human rights. Terrible things happened, of course, massacres, mass rape, extensive torture by a number of different forces, starting from Soviets, Afghan communists, through to the Mujahideen and the Taliban. The sensitivity of this report is that some of the people who are named in it, particularly the Mujahideen commanders, still have positions of great influence in this society today. And human rights workers who have helped to compile this report now are starting to feel quite annoyed that the UN has sat on it for the last 18 months. And they're saying that the UN and the Afghan government are worried about the political sensitivities of, if you like, naming and shaming these individuals and highlighting again the alleged war crimes which still have not been dealt with in Afghan society.
Declan Walsh in Kandahar for The Guardian newspaper. Declan, thank you.
My pleasure.